sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young, and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, know the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
You cannot talk.
Bon, mesdames et messieurs, nous sommes rendus à épisode 211. Title is still being determined, but it will likely be one of these verses. Bear with me. I peeped you fronting. Let me repeat that. I peeped you fronting. No. I peeped you fronting. I was in a Jeep, sunk in the seat, tinted with heat, beats bumping. Oh! Okay, I'm not done yet. Across the street, you was wildin', talking about how you ran the island in 89. Laying up, playing the yard with crazy shine. I cocked the baby 9, that nigga grave mine. Oh, wow. That nigga gravy mine, clinked him. What was he thinking on my corner when it's pay me time? Dug him, you owe me cousin something, told me plug him. So dumb, felt my leg burn, then it got numb. Spun a run and shot one. Bloop! Heard shots and dropped, son. Caught a hot one. Yo, somebody take this biscuit for the cops come. Then they came asking me my name. What the fuck? I got stitched up and went through, left the hospital that same night. Got my gap back. Time to backtrack. I had the drop. How the fuck did I get clapped? Black was in the Jeep watching. All he seen speed by was a brown Datsun.
Message.
And yo, nobody in my hood got one. Oh my God. That's some amazing poetry, man. Fuck you if you disagree. All right, okay. Hey, welcome et bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, aka Le Grand Papa B, aka Gaston Lebanor. I kind of literally forgot my name here. Bear with me. The sounds in my headphones aren't... Oh, there we go. Where's my snare? Okay. Hey, before I continue with the show, I need to inform you new listeners that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts. And it's protected by the red, the black, and the green. With the red black and the red blue.
Rouge et bleu.
Spin this bitch. Rouge et bleu. Spin this bitch. Rouge et bleu up in this bitch. I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question.
Are you an outcast?
Think about it before answering. This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on October 14, 2024. Because we acknowledge... This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey and fuck Columbus as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. Then if you want to be down with Whitey and Columbus, then fuck you too. All right, for you new listeners, usually I just focus my that fuck you on Whitey. But being that this weekend, I believe in certain parts, certain states, certain part of the world, it's Columbus Day. I just like to take the time to be like, fuck Columbus. And if you want to be down with Columbus, then fuck you too. All right, okay. You know what? I'm going to say some more about that in the second app. But first, let me just help these new listeners get familiarized with this new podcast. And, and before I start, continuing with tradition, if you are a returning listener to Shut Up Podcast, right, whether it's your first, whether it's your second, third, whatever episode, right, from the bottom of my heart, I give you... Thank you. Welcome back. And if you happen to be a new listener, a new, brand new, spanking new listener, like you're popping your cherry on today's episode, you accidentally clicked on this. I don't care. If it's your first time listening, oh man, from the bottom of my heart, B-Black says, what up? And welcome. What up? And a welcome followed by... And, Welcome to the group. Now, drink the Kool-Aid. Okay. Yes, you listeners. Okay. You know, I should find a shorter way to say this. But long story short, I like to break down my episodes into three parts. Parts that I call acts. You know, it would have been simple if I just said I like to break down my episodes into three acts. But it's my goddamn podcast. I remix it any way I want. So into three acts. The first act is the intro. Second act is using random thoughts. And the final act is... final thought. It kind of a little like Jerry Springer, a little on that same idea, but I don't sum up, it's a separate thought from everything that I talked about. Well, okay. So far in the intro, in the first act, what you've heard is the theme, because that's right, the show starts as soon as you hear the theme, followed by me saying the title of today's episode, which I'm still a little flimsy on. Like, I think I'm going to go with the title, A Brown Datsun. And I'll explain myself why later. And followed by some poetry, which I got the title from, and will also be connected to what I'll be discussing in the final, in the final thought portion of the podcast. And everything after that was salutation and disclaimer. I mean, I gotta put out a disclaimer. Yeah, I'm not worried about immature kids. I am worried about immature white people. Yeah. You know, we'll get to that. Yeah, you know, the more I think about it, there's like a special... This episode will be rated an extra fuck whitey. But you'll see. I'll get to that. Okay. Another thing I like to do before I conclude the first act is share some quotes. And the first one goes, you stop explaining yourself when you realize people only understand from their level of perception. My man, Jim Carrey. Did you know Jim Carrey was Canadian? All right. Anyone going, you, who doesn't know that? That's the joke. Okay. Okay, next quote. I don't know who the author is, but I got it from on Instagram, Middlesdorf. Goddamn English names. All right, okay. She has written, shame dies when stories are told in safe spaces, in safe places, excuse me. I thought that was deep. And the last quote goes, if they consistently leave you confused more than comforted, it's best to reassess their access to you. Oh, my God. The big part is being selective about who has access to you. Shout out to my man, Talal Macy, for sharing that one. Okay, this... concludes the first act. Now we are ready for the second act. All right? Okay? You sure you're ready? Y'all ready? Okay? All right, let's do this. I need to get a new sound machine because there's like a long delay. There's like a significant delay between me clicking on the button to play the sound and it playing. It's like my computer is like thinking about it. It's giving me, it was sassing me, man. My computer is sassing me. All right, okay. Let us start. On commence au début avec Happy Indigenous People Day, which I prefer to call Fuck Whitey and Fuck of the Christopher Columbus. I'm sorry, sorry. Happy, keep it positive. Happy Indigenous People Day. This means, this is a significant day for me. I mean, not just for, I mean, for Indigenous people too, but I still remember, I know, actually, no, no, I'm fuzzy on the details, but I still, bear with me, I still remember the moment in my childhood when Christopher Columbus went from this awesome project I had to do to, wait, what? He wasn't a hero? Wait, what? The idea of him discovering a nation, well, A, this motherfucker thought he was India. Two, B, the idea of discovering is a racist concept by the European to say, like, hey, y'all didn't exist until we arrived. Like, by the true term is Columbus discovered the Americas for Europe. Sure, you could say that, but they didn't just appear because Columbus showed up. You know, just it's the paradigm shift. That's what I'm remembering. The paradigm shift going from, oh, and it wasn't just Columbus. It was also, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be learning from this. Like, wait a minute, are you saying I can't trust my education? I can't trust my teachers? My teachers are bullshitting me, are feeding me shit that's toxic for me. Like, it was the beginning of the end of my innocence as a child. That's what it was. And, yeah, no, that's what, when I think of Indigenous Day, because previously, in the old days, in some, I mean, Canada, they didn't do that, but, I mean, or not officially, but Canada didn't have a Columbus Day, but in the States they do. And yeah, no, I remember like I was emotional about it so much I wrote a rap song about it. It went, fuck you, Columbus, fuck you, Chris. Another white devil has to get dismissed. Columbus Day, a time of year I don't celebrate. How can I be grateful for someone's mistake? Hey, yo, grateful for the Holocaust, grateful for the frost. The only thing he discovered that he was lost. Many Africans died in the ocean blue, and you still commemorate 1492. The red man shook hands with the white man, and now they're getting kicked out from their own land. Fuck you, Columbus, is what I gotta say. Oh, yeah. Remember, I was 16 when I wrote this, and then I go, I'd rather praise Hitler than Columbus Day. Yeah, I guess, yeah, that line was, it was intentionally, I grew up on the Ice Cubes. The listen to Farrakhan, and yeah, I'm like, I ain't know shit about Jewish people except that they were white. So I'm like, man, fuck them, add them to the pile. Hence that line. Sorry, I'm laughing at the idea. I'm laughing at the fact that I used to say that line with my chest, and now I'm like, B, that's kind of problematic. Yeah. But I still stand. Fuck Columbus, man. And if you Italian and pissed off at my fuck Columbus stance, then we don't have to be friends. You don't have to be a podcast listener. Sorry. I'm thinking of an episode of The Sopranos. And one of my favorite episodes, which turns out most of the people didn't like it, the Christopher episode. It was a beautiful perspective. All right, okay. Next item I have on the agenda. I just wrote the line watching clips on YouTube. And the only reason I bring this up is because this weekend I found myself actually consuming. Okay, usually when I listen to a podcast, I listen to it in my ears, whether I'm on a walk, doing dishes, or doing cooking, whatever, right? But I'm distracted, folding, whatever. But I like having a podcast playing in my ears. I was never able to get into the visual versions of podcasts, unless it was really short. Even then, I don't know what it is about podcasting, but it was like the black guy who tips. They have a live show, and for me, it's a little difficult to get into that kind of way of consuming podcasts. That's just the main thing. But this weekend, I found myself actually watching three clips. The first one was What Now podcast by Trevor Noah, and it's the episode he did with Ta-Nehisi Coates, which, by the way, will be discussed in Final Thought. And the other one is this new dude I just discovered, just sheer coincidence, showed up on my algorithm. Shout out to the algorithm for figuring out what I like. It's kind of scary, you know, some machine is better at figuring out what I like than a human being. I miss the days of a DJ with break records. Sorry, okay. Shout out to the algorithm. All praise the algorithm. Okay, and it introduced me to this cat, this dude named D'Angelo Wallace. I love the name. I'm not sure if it's a coincidence, if the dude, but this dude must be a watcher of The Wire. But D'Angelo Wallace, that's the name of the content creator. And he put out two videos that got my attention. No, actually, it wasn't the algorithm. It was Reddit where I discovered this guy. And the first video that I watched by this guy was Gen Z women are ditching church. Men pretend to be shocked. And the second one, okay, that one I didn't know. That one I listened in my ears. Like the video was playing on my phone, but I was listening. I was just listening. But the one that I did sit down and watch, sat on my couch and watch the whole thing, was The Dragon Den's incident. Yeah, I'll give you the actual title. He said Simu Liu, and the bubble tea cultural appropriation debate. I've been referring it to the Dragon Den's incident, but you know, we're talking about the same thing. Anyways, it was enough to. He talked about it enough for me to make it a segment in Using Random Thought. All right? Okay. And, okay. And it's the next segment. It's the next clip. Okay. Okay. What's interesting about this Simu Liu, am I pronouncing his name right? Simu Liu? Simu Liu. Anytime I struggle to pronounce something in English, I just pronounce it in French and deal with it. If you don't like having your name pronounced in French, I blame the white man. It's goddamn language. Okay. Je rigole. Okay. So, before I start, for those who don't realize, I'm recording this episode a day after I usually record. This is a Monday. I usually record on a Sunday. And needless to say, today's episode is later, being posted later than usual. Je me suis permis. Permitted myself to be late with this episode. No announcement, no anything, but you know, I know I'm supposed to be consistent, but part of it is because I realized I hadn't promoted episode 210, which is a good episode. I think I should start by saying another amazing episode, which was a good episode that I enjoyed recording. I really, really, really enjoyed recording. And I wanted it to get more shine, but also, whatever, man. It's today was a holiday, so I permitted myself. Wow, a lot of talking. My point is, while preparing for today's episode 211, I remember being on Instagram, because I'm easily distracted, ADD, while preparing, I'm on Instagram, and I see Simu Liu with a 6-minute clip on TikTok. I remember telling myself, and I remember like, Bubba, what's Bubba? Whatever. But I remember thinking, dismissing him. Like, what could he possibly have to say? What movie did I see him? I can't remember whatever, right? But what could homeboy possibly have to say? Nothing about the clip, the setting, whatever, looked interesting. Yeah, don't judge a book by its cover, but you know, fuck it. It's one thing to say it and another thing to not do it. But I remember thinking, big deal. What could he possibly have to say? And then ignoring the clip. And I'm not sure what came first. Oh, you know what? It must have been the homie Oh, yeah. Because Simulio was talking about cultural appropriation. And I'm like, did he fuck up? Did he? What's going on? Whatever, right? But who knew I would take a great interest in this story? Links are in the show notes. I'm not going to go through the whole article, but I am going to summarize it, right? The title of the article, you can look up, read it for yourself. But you probably know about it already. But Simu Liu criticizes Canadian bubble tea company. Bubble tea. Oh, that's okay. Company over concern of cultural appropriation. And you know what? I might just go with this because I could talk a lot of I could talk a lot about this particular subject, right? And but I watched the clip for myself. What's that noise? Yeah, I watched the clip for myself. And whatever. So apparently, Simu Liu did a guest appearance on, apparently he did a guest appearance on Dragon's Den. And these two Quebecers show up. I mean, two white people. One man, one woman show up to pitch their whatever. I don't like the Dragon's Dens, by the way. I don't like shows like that. Reality. I don't like people up front and then there's just talking. I mean, good for them for having a thick skin, but it's not my thing, man. I don't think I could work in sales and have people be like, oh, your shit is suck. Anyways, yeah, going on a tangent. That's why News and Random Thought takes so long because I keep going on a tangent. Stick with me, B. All right. So they go up front to promote this company called Bubba Tea. And as soon as I heard that French-Canadian accent, I'm like, okay, it's going to be some bullshit. It is what it is, right? Okay, I'm a Franco-Ontarian. I grew up with Franco-Ontarian. And when it comes to racist white people, don't get me wrong. In Canada, there's like two official languages, French and English. And I grew up in, I feel like I've navigated in both circles. Granted, I'm not familiar with west of Canada. But my point is, I've navigated for both circles. And white people are equally racist. They're just, their racism is just different. I still haven't been able to write down how it is. But and by going through both circles, both of them like to point their finger to the other guy about they're more racist than us. Ain't that right, black guy? Hey. And if you want to be on their good side, you'll agree with them. Yes. Yes. English Canada is way more racist than you people. Canada, les Anglais, là. C'est du Christ des racistes. Ah, bien fait. Tap you on the head. Bien fait. C'est un bon noir. C'est un bon egg, toi, là. Bon egg, okay? And then English Canada, it's like, yes, these French fucking Canadians, they're way more racist than you are. I don't know. They're way more racist. You guys are way okay. Good boy. Good boy, nigger. Good boy. Here's a treat. Is a piece of watermelon. I don't know. Sorry, I'm exaggerating. Okay, so but to my point is, my guard's up differently when it comes to when I'm dealing with English, when an English white person and a French white person. Like like I know, I anticipate the shots differently in both cases. This is the problem with my relationship with white people is, in both cases, I'm anticipating a shot. I'm anticipating some ignorance. I'm anticipating. Look, man, I got a brace for impact. It's how I survive in this fucking world of white supremacy. And the thing is, you can't tell this to these white folks because then their feelings get hurt. They're as bad as men who are like, you know, men who feel the need to tell you, not all men, asshole. I'm not talking about you. Motherfucker, I'm trying to, anyway, whatever. So when I heard that French-Canadian accent, I'm like, brace yourself. And I remember the way when they start, I wasn't paying attention, but I remember when they started with, yeah, we came up with this bubble tea and basically we got rid of all the bad shit these Asians put in it and we improved it. Like everything white people do, we improve it. Just like we did for breakdance, just like we did for rap music, just like we did for rock, just like we did for whatever the fuck. Just like we did to this land, we improved it. And I love how, because I was the pitch. It's like, yeah, all those crazy ingredients, whatever. But I like how the way, see, that's the thing. I love this dynamic, right? And this is why I could talk so much about it. The way Simu Liu expressed himself. It wasn't like, how dare you fucking crackers take shit from my people? It was like, wait a minute. Bubble tea. The ingredients are simple. What the fuck? You know what I mean? And it's like, this is an example of why, one, you should have, a colored person, a person of color. This is why different perspective matters. Because he was giving you feedback. Hey, what do you mean you're trying to improve on a beverage? What the fuck? Shout out to T Blizzy. I put a link to the clip in the other links section of the show notes. And she had a perfect example of how that would help white people, especially French Canadians, understand what Simon Leah was doing. Imagine I show up and say, yeah, man, we improved on poutine. Get rid of the cheese, get rid of that gravy. No. Imagine Americans in English, I say, yeah, man, we take this poutine and we improved it. First, that we give it a name that's got an English name. Gravy and gravy, cheese curdle, and potatoes. You know what I mean? Like, it's, okay, anyways. Because the one thing, the distinction is, French Canadians understand culture. Okay, let me rephrase that. French Canadians understand culture except for any culture that belongs to people of color. Black, indigenous, people of color. They're like fucking illiterate by that shit, man. This is like pent up resentment talking right now. Like, they're just blissfully ignorant about that shit. They'll tell you, no. This is how R&B should sound. No. Let me put on this black face and show you how a black person actually behaves. Yo. Tu es moi je suis un vrai noir, là. Okay, tu es là, t'es un faux noir. Moi, check moi. Yo. Okay, I'm a black guy from Compton. Hey, je viens du Compton. Hey, c'est comme ça les noirs, ils agissent. That's how these black people, they act, okay? You gotta behave like... Anyway, whatever. So, like I said, I'm a little angry. Okay. The biggest part, the part that angers me the most is how Simu Liu was dropping signs. He was giving them knowledge. And the fucking people, his colleagues in front, were acting like, dude, cultural appropriation? What, white people can't do anything anymore? It's just an improvement. Whatever. It's the reaction to Simu Liu is fucking normal. Sure, there are people supporting him. You know, sure, if you want the flowery podcast that focuses on the positive, you can go through that. But no, I'm focused on my feelings. It's getting warm here. Is it just me? Yeah. I'm wearing a big black hoodie. Anyways, I'm thinking about my feelings about just watching that interaction. Homeboy is just trying to say, hey, it's from Taiwan. And of course, I made the mistake of reading the comment sections. It's like I look for reasons to be angry. Anyways, yeah. And people, it's like, okay, well, I guess we're going to tell the Italian people not to come. You know, it just, instead of, that's what bothers me. Instead of taking the time to be like, oh, let me learn something from this person. See, this is where the fuck whitey come from. It's as if there's like a mental block in these people's mind whenever someone who doesn't look like them tries to introduce a new idea. It's like you're trying to describe to them a color they've never seen before. And they're like, oh, you're making shit up. You're talking about the color blue. No, motherfucker. If I was talking about the color blue, I would have said blue. This color is blue, whatever. That's what it is. That's what gets me is the... It's the, you people can't teach me anything. If I want to learn something, if I open my mind to something, it either needs to come out of the mouth of a white person. And the thing too is, usually the word cultural appropriation is exact. But I think all white people hear is, okay, now I can't, now I, First, I couldn't say nigger. Now I can't do this. Now I can't. Like, it's all, like, to them, it's all things they're not allowed. I can't control their interpretation, but it's just frustrating. This is not the first time I've been for this shit. I felt for this shit. And, I can't say more than it. Now, the clip, I forgot to mention, the clip that, the TikTok clip that Simu Liu recorded was him saying, hey, I'm glad people got to hear my point, but hey, cut out the death threats. Come on, man. We don't need to be violent about that shit. You know, I kind of agree. That's fine. I kind of agree. I mean, I shout out to the white people who are like, hey, especially the Quebec white people who are like, you fucking embarrassed us up there. So I'm going to blow up your fucking, I don't know what's going on. Je vais blow it up. Come on, explose. No. Je vais exploser ta ton usine. Let's see. Click. Sorry, I'm pretending. Sorry, you can't see me, but I'm pretending like I got a phone, old school phone, and because we don't use phones anymore, and there is no click hang up anymore. It's just end call. Is it end? You know what I mean. I'm not mad at the. I mean, I'm used to it. I'm not mad at the Quebecers or the French white people, or the white people who are like, oh, you fucking disgraced us people. Do your fucking research. I'm not mad at them, but I'm not going to condemn their violence. Look, they're going to be all right. No one's going to hurt them. And if they do get hurt, the cops will be on that shit. No way you're going to hurt some white people. But I am annoyed at the white people who are like doubling down. It's like, fucking, you people just always find reasons to be upset. I swear, man, it's like white people are convinced racism is this concept we all created to make them feel uncomfortable, to make them feel like, it's my podcast. I just vent out frustration that won't go anywhere. I mean, vent out frustration. You know, next topic is, I was just thinking, speaking of, okay, look, I'm a highly sensitive person. I mean, I know for some of you, all you heard was, oh, so you's a bitch. Okay, no, highly sensitive person. How do we, let me find a good definition on highly sensitive. God damn it. We're going to take a journey together. Highly sensitive person. What does that mean? Because I know for some of you, that's a new concept, Psychology Today. Okay, is there like a simple definition? Psychology, what does it say? Perfect. Okay. Highly sensitive person. Okay. Describe. I'm getting this definition from Psychology Today. I should have memorized this shit. It goes, highly sensitive person, or HSP, is a term coined by psychologist Elaine Aaron. Bruh, 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 bruh. I don't know this lady, but shout out to her. According to Aaron's theory, HSPs are a subset of a population who are high in a personality trait known as sensory processing sensitivity, or SPS. I should start using that word more often, huh? Sensory processing sensitivity. All right. Those with high levels of SPS display increased emotional sensitivity, stronger and reactivity to both external and internal stimuli, pain, hunger, light, noise, and a complex inner life. Yes. Yes. On the last episode, I talked about how hanging out with someone with ADHD changed my life because it helped me be more accepting of traits that, more accepting of the fact that I experienced the world differently from most people, and there's nothing wrong about that. Doesn't mean I'm going to hell. I mean, maybe I am, but doesn't matter. Doesn't matter that I'm in the neurodivergent category of people. Anyways, I'm going somewhere because I was talking about how angry I was at this interview, how angry I was. And there was another thing on my mind, and I was debating on whether to share this on an episode. But here's what happened, right? There's an incident that happened between, okay, I say incident, but it's insignificant. Not insignificant, but it's, I use the word incident, but it's not like that big. It was, I had a negative. Sorry. I felt like that dude who, migrants, immigrant, nigger. All right. I had, for sake of conversation, a negative encounter with a colleague. And what I mean negative encounter is they were feeling overwhelmed about something. It's a man, of course. They were feeling, this person has no emotional intelligence. So they were feeling overwhelmed about a situation. And I was trying to like help them understand what they were. Okay, it was just a new project that propped up, and this poor bastard is going to end up doing a lot of work, more work than he expected, right? And so I was there when he received the information, and I could tell he was overwhelmed by it. And I was trying to help the brother out. I mean, now I get my lessons learned is fuck him. I mean, figure it out. But anyways, try to help them out, and this person snapped on me. Snapped, like just, I won't say the exact word, but it was the equivalent of get the fuck out of here. You know, it was the equivalent of I ain't trying to hear that shit. It was the equivalent of no, I'm not overwhelmed. You're overwhelmed. Get the fuck out of my, you know, it was like walk away. It was, they responded in a disrespectful manner. And what I ended up doing is I let it slide. Basically, part of my mind was I'm used to being around difficult people and they get outraged. They get emotional. They'll tell, you know, I'm not sensitive, but, you know, they'll get emotional about something, take it out and use you as the punching. I'm used to being a punching bag. That's what I'm trying to say. I don't say I like it, but I'm saying I've grown up being used to being a punching bag. And I remember leaving the situation, telling myself, you know, yeah, whatever, the person's bad. I went from, yeah, okay, they're having a bad day too. Man, fuck that shit. I was angry at myself because this is not the first time this person has done this. Okay, I'm giving you a long-ass setup. But my point is, because I didn't address it in the moment, I spent the whole weekend angry at myself, telling myself I should have did this, should have pushed that motherfucker, should have beat, should have, but here's where I'm going with this. This is where I'm going with the, by being more aware of my, of this trait, highly sensitive, I'm aware that I got to do, because I experienced the world, I got to do shit like regulate my emotions. Now, before I was aware I was a highly sensitive person, I used to just accept the fact that I tend to, it's like I knew I was sensitive, but I was in denial about it. But I knew that, don't give in to your temper. I knew that, okay, if someone does something that makes you angry, breathe, bro. Breathe, breathe. Don't react. You're not Tony Soprano. I kind of wish, but you're not Tony Soprano. A dude like you needs to be like, okay, I'm going to take some time because if I say what I want to say, feelings might get hurt. I might get fired. Or I'm going to go out like Trayvon Martin. You know what I mean? I'm going to scare white people. May he rest in peace. And I was angry. Usually I just, you know, wait for therapy to bring it up. But that's 2 weeks from now. But there was a lot of anger inside me. And where this is going is I ended up journaling and then turning it into a post on Reddit. And it kind of helped. And it's something that I'm realizing is that part of this emotional regulation is, yes, feel that anger. Don't deny it, that anger is there. Now, can you do something constructive with that anger? Because if you let it burn, you're going to fuck somebody up. And that constructive thing was journal, like writing a post out of it, right? And had me thinking of the line by... it's stuck in my head by DMX, where he says in a song, I'm slipping, doing something more constructive with my life or with my time than bids. So I changed my motto. Instead of saying fuck tomorrow, the buck that bought a bottle could destruct the lotto. Sorry. You know, it's okay. The whole point of this story is just to, I'm tapping myself on the shoulder for finding ways, like in my journey to regulating my emotions, I found a way to do something constructive. Yay! Yeah, on this podcast, we celebrate milestones. Yeah. And we celebrate milestones, and I encourage you to celebrate your own milestones. Yo, small progress is better than no progress. Trust me. Believe me, if you're a kid, don't listen to that part of you that wants to be a perfectionist. Small progress is better than no progress. Okay. I feel better talking about it. Yeah, I feel better. I don't know what the future holds, but I'm glad that I did what I did and I handled it the way I did. Whatever. Still want to punch someone, but that's another story. All right, okay. Shout out to AOC for this one. She goes, the hurricane machine. And so you guys heard about all the hurricanes, Hurricane Milton. I guess it wasn't as bad as we expected it to be, but the Republicans are at it again. And I say Republicans, but I mean I'm going to go with the climate change deniers are at it again. Well, okay, let's focus, right? First, I remember when Republicans, the crazy Christians, notice I said crazy Christian and not all Christians. All right, so crazy Christians, Republicans, crazy Republicans, fucking all in one boat. Here, let me just read what AOC wrote, right? She goes, the hurricane, quote-unquote, machine is climate change. Cooler ocean temperatures slow hurricane development. As temp rise, more hurricanes grow. The Gulf of Mexico is a major location for warming water. The people who bear responsibility are fossil fuel corporation plus politicians they buy. God bless this woman. I was watching a YouTube clip about how hurricanes are formed. I'm not saying I'm an expert at it, but I got a better understanding about I got the gist of it. It's like, yeah, the warmer the fucking ocean gets. What did she write? Yeah, warmer oceans fuel hurricanes. Right? Now, I still remember the good old days where we say climate change. Well, what were we using before the word climate change? Global warming. And then these fucking, I say the politicians, but it's also the companies that bought them are like, yo, shut the fuck up. I blame Whitey, by the way. I put them all under the category of Whitey. But yeah, these corporations like, hey, man, cut that shit up. Get them to stop talking about global warming. We need to sell more of this oil. My point is all these people weren't in the, all these climate change is a hoax, folks. Today are now like these hurricanes were caused by Jews. These hurricanes were caused by because two dudes got married. These hurricanes were caused by the fucking government. That's where we're at now. We went from, hey, we need to do something about this. Ah, man, you're bullshitting. And now this something is happening. Oh, whoa. Are these niggers eating bats? Is that what's going on? Haitian eating bats? That's what's causing the hurricanes. You know what I mean? It's like, imagine you're like in a car and you got to drive it with a person and they kept giving you the wrong directions. You can't, no, I think I should go. No. Trust me. Go left. My point is you would think we'd have a human moment of, oh, that's what you meant. Oh, we were wrong. No. And maybe I'm naive, whatever, but no. Instead, they doubled down. It's like, oh, wow, this fucking hurricane. God damn. Must be the Jews. Must be the blacks. Must be the gays. Must be the Democrats. Must be the blah, 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 blah. I hate people. Sorry, yeah. Stamodzilla. Okay. You know, I'm going to skip this one. Okay, I'm going to end right here. Because I like to manage I'm trying to manage my time better, and I forget that, you know, today is Indigenous Day, Indigenous People Day. Yeah, so I'm going to stop here. I had another clip. What is it? If you have inner work. Yeah, you know what? I'm proud of myself. Hold on a second. Shutting down on time. Good for me. Yay! Proud of myself. I had something that I wanted to talk about, but I'm looking at the time, and I respect your time, so now I'm going to end news and random thoughts. All right, okay. Let's jump to the final act, Act 3, which is final thoughts, and wrap this up, okay? All right, let's do this. Let me answer the question, what's up with today's title? Okay, today's title might be a Brown Datsun. I like these titles that make you, my intention is to make you like curious about what the fuck is he talking about? Not like, that's not relevant. That's not what you should call the episode. You swear you should have called this your podcast, the episode. Suck my dick. All right, okay. What's up with today's title? Okay, first of all, whatever title I end up picking for 211 will be related to, will come from the second verse, verse 2 of Nas's track, The Message, right? Yeah. And so what inspired that change? Okay, so today's topic is both, final thought is, I finished reading or going through the audio version of, hey, wait, what the fuck? I'm supposed to get in the goddamn book. Where's the book? Hold on a second. I'm supposed to get a message from Amazon saying, I bought the book. Sorry. I finished the book by Ta-Nehisi Coates, The Message. Okay? And I remember, that's what I'm going to talk about, the book and the response to the book. Now, what the fuck does Nas have to do with it? Because I remember seeing The Message and reading, going through, I say reading, but I was going through the audiobook, but reading audiobook, same thing, right? On this podcast, it's the same thing. Listening to that first introduction, not introduction, but that first chapter where he talks about writing and he made reference, it just, the title of his book just made me think of Nas's track, not the track, but how Nas has a track called The Message. Granted, and then later, it's only later, I'm like, Grandmaster Flash has a rap song called The Message, too. So maybe he got the title from there. But whatever. I just felt the need to acknowledge the fact that when I saw the title of his book, I thought of that Nas track. And second, I need an excuse to recite that verse, because that verse was fucking dope. Are you kidding? Hold on a second. What is this? My favorite line, he goes, I peeped you frontin'. I was in the Jeep, sunk in the seat. Tinted with heat, beats bumping. That's fucking Nas. That's how he does it. Anyways. but because I like to go for stretches, I'm a gymnast, whatever. Right? I'm going to make a stretch, right? the link I will make between his book and Nas, The Message, is there's a line. Maybe that should be the title of the episode. Is there's a line where Nas says, left the hospital that same night. And Tupac, yeah, didn't like that line. He dissed Nas for it, like, because he took it at, he says, you trying to take credit for my accomplishments? Because Pac, when he was shot 5 times, he was well known, because he rapped about it, about how he went to the hospital and left the next day. Which is some gangster shit, if you ask me. Fuck that. If I get shot, I'm staying in the hospital, provided there's... Well, he left the hospital because he needed, and he wanted his own security team around him, too. Anyways, so, but the point is the fact that Pac mistook the reason why Nas wrote that track. So I looked up the message by Nas, and apparently it was his way of saying, yo, he was just thinking about how he had finished his first album, he's writing his new one, and he was just thinking about how there was so many rappers in the scene. There was Tupac, there was the guy from Wu-Tang, oh my God, are you really going to fess that? Raekwon, Jay-Z, all these rappers coming at the same time, and it's as if, by the way I understand it, the message is his way of saying, of acknowledging all these rappers at the same time, reiterating. The point is, when, from what I understand, when Nas made that reference to getting out the hospital that same night. It was supposed to be an homage. But Pac was at beef that night, you know what I mean? Like, this is the first time you're going to get me to acknowledge that Pac might have been wrong about something. It's rare, because Pac is my Lord and Savior, and talk shit about him, you die. Okay. Misunderstood the reference. And where I'm going with this, finally, now I'm talking about the book. What do you think about the book, B? I loved it. I fucking loved it. There are three parts, okay? First, he talks, he dedicates the first chapter to writers, to the art of writing. It's like, yo, man, it's like, put your soul in that shit, folks. You writers. It was like, it was a dedication to other writers. Two, he talks about his trip to Senegal. Senegal. They were colonized by the French. That's why I'm saying Senegal. His trip to Senegal, which, shout out to my homegirl, Rachel Decosse. She's got a book out, and she talks about her trip to the motherland. I believe she went to Senegal. Yeah, she went to Senegal. Whatever. She encouraged me to go. But my point is, having her and him talk about Senegal, I think the country I end up visiting when I go to Africa, if it's not Benin, it's going to be Senegal. Senegal. All right. Senegal, then South or North Carolina, and then Palestine. Great book. All I know is it's hard for me. Okay, the thing is, Coates writes, speaks at a level that I'm not. It's not that I'm saying dumb it down, but I'm used to, when I was a kid, I would read textbooks, and I wouldn't understand every single detail, but it was but I would like grasp enough of a concept to make sense out of it. To make sense out of it in my mind, but not in a way where I could explain it to others. That makes sense. So I remember reading, going through Ta-Nehisi Coates' book and telling myself, fuck, this is amazing, but I don't know how to articulate to someone else what makes this book amazing. It's like it's the feel. It's like I can think of, while going through this chapter, I was thinking about this. Like, I was thinking about when I go on a trip and how I have similar thoughts or the way he writes, the way he writes is, I wish I could write like that. I wish I could put out ideas like that. Anyways, I'm not going to go in too deep. There are smarter people who could do that for you, but I'm just saying that I enjoyed the reading. The Senegal part made me want to go back to Senegal. The part about North Carolina or South Carolina, one of the Carolinas, and how he's trying to, so folks are trying to get his book banned. It's like, it just had me thinking of, look, one thing to be ignorant, another thing to like enforce your ignorance. There's a clip out there of this dude. I'm going to talk about it now, but it won't be in, links won't be in the show notes, but of the, this Christian dude, or whatever. And you know what? He's an idiot. He's a real idiot. And basically he's saying, he was talking about how I could prove that the earth doesn't rotate. He believes the earth doesn't rotate because if you're in a helicopter and it goes in the air and you go back down, you end up back, you know, at the same spot. If the earth rotated, you'd be in a different spot, you know, whatever. And the thing is, because I don't like making fun of stupid people, but my line is, when you're stupid and you want to make your stupidity the law, that's what I don't like. So what I'm saying is, by book burning, it enrages me, the idea of no. Not only do we want to stay stupid, we want everyone else to be stupid. Ban his book. And the last one was on Palestine. The part about Palestine, which is where he's getting a lot of, like, it's being misunderstood, is, oh my God, I feel like it's a human being explaining the human condition. You know, the part he wrote about Palestine just reminded me why I would never engage a Zionist or a pro-Zionist Jewish person into a debate conversation. Mainly because all they would have to do to get me on their side is pretend you were us and Palestinians were white. I'm like, oh, shit. Point. Okay. Case closed. Arguments done. That's all they got to say. My point is, the state of mind that they're in, they ain't trying to hear no fucking logic. All they want to hear is, yes, you're right. My way, you know, you're either with us or you're against us. They're in, like, that mindset. I ain't trying to hear what we're doing wrong. We're fucking at war. Like, I understand it to that extent. I'm not agreeing with it, but I'm admitting if I was in their shoes, I'd likely, knowing me, look, I started my podcast with fuck Whitey. I would likely be a Zionist. Fuck that. No one's going to tell us where we're going to live. What? What genocide? Hey, that motherfucker should have known better than to live in my house. You know, I mean, like, I would never engage it mainly because I would feel like a hypocrite. Now, the conversation I am willing to have is, yo, what y'all doing there is fucked up. When I talk about, you know, because when I get emotional and I talk about being violent to someone, I'm not saying I'm right. I'm saying, yeah, get the cops ready because I'm going to get fired. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm not justified or whatever. I'm admitting that the kind of the chemistry level going on in my mind, I'm going to do something stupid. So what I'm saying is, the shit going on in the Middle East, I could only have it with someone who could look at the situation through the eyes of a human being. And that's what that chapter did for me. It was like, at this point, I ain't trying to hear shit about, oh, fuck, he's being anti-Semitic. Go fuck yourself. Like Paul, I keep forgetting his last name. I can't pronounce his last name, but he can. Not Paul, Tony, whatever the fuck. So here's where I'm going with this is a lot of the thought that I come. So I talked about the book and the reaction to it. A lot of my opinions about how I really enjoyed Trevor Noah's podcast episode with Ta-Nehisi Coates, where he talks about where they deal about the backlash from the book. It's well done. It was well. It's like, yo, Ta-Nehisi Coates is, yo, he feels the empathy. He gets it. He gets, I mean, I wouldn't try to explain it to you because, you know, if you to someone whose mind is already set, is already made, but yeah, he gets it, man. He's not an asshole saying, hey, man, you Jews need to turn the other cheek. No, he's not that guy. He's, oh, fuck, shit, I get how you get to this point. But y'all killing people. What y'all doing is equivalent. It's a fucking apartheid. Don't bullshit me. Don't try to, I like that. Don't try to pour syrup on shit and call it pancakes. I know what the fuck I'm seeing. All right, I'm not going to go up too long, man. I'm going to just reiterate what I said. Okay, let me look at the line. I said, yeah. The part that I am focused on and what the episode with Trevor Noah and Ta-Nehisi Coates and, damn, forget the name of his other co-host. First of all, listening to those three talk, oh my God, I was like envying. I was like dick riding. Did you say one of them, the co-host, was a woman? Doesn't matter, I'm dick riding. I'm like, I'm envious. I'm not, you know when you envy someone for their talent? You're not trying to be like them. You're just like, oh, I ain't shit because I'm not like them. You know, I'm just, oh, wow. It was just three black people articulating thoughts intelligently. Like they speak so well. Hold on, do I have that clip?
He speaks so well.
There we go.
He speaks so well.
That's what's up. That's what's going on that podcast. he speaks so well. Look, it's. I grew up not really, except for relatives, right? But I grew up, and you rarely see, because you relied on television, right? You rarely see black people being articulate. Oh, except until I discovered hip hop, and then there was like KRS-One, Chuck D, Sister Soulja, right? And I guess that's where I learned to value communication. Anyways, listening to those three talk, I was like, oh, in awe. But I like the focus on, because that's what's supposed to be the theme, is people who purposely, it's like you're speaking to them, people who purposely try to misunderstand you. I'm going to try to make a link here. People who, yeah, purposely misunderstand. Like, it took me a while to realize that, oh, some people aren't trying to understand. The thought that came to my mind is, I remember when I was a kid, and the first time I heard, I was young, dumb, and innocent, right? But the first time someone denied the Holocaust, I was introduced to the concept of Holocaust denial. I didn't know it was Holocaust denial. I really believe that, oh, okay, this poor soul just hasn't seen Schindler's List or hasn't been told about the Holocaust. But it's well documented. As soon as they read it, they'll understand. That's the reason why this person is saying 6 million Jews did not die. That's the reason why they're saying that. Because lack of education. Just, you know, show him the book, he'll get it. I was oblivious to the fact that some folks purposely, doesn't matter the logic, fuck the logic, fuck the books. They want to not, you're making that shit up. Like, it's a next level cruelty. It's like, your pain doesn't exist. You're sorry you made it up. You're trying to make me feel bad. This idea that there are people out there that regardless of the logic, the information that you can provide to them, they'll be like, they have an agenda. They'll be like, nah, it's all bullshit. I need to believe that you're from the jungle, primitive, and all that shit. I don't care about the, you know, you just made up all these inventors. Nah. You are, like, this idea of, okay, I'm going to bring back, I'm going to wrap this up with some Stephen Covey. The idea that, I used to believe in Stephen Covey's notion of seek first to understand and be understood. I was oblivious to the fact that some people just want to be understood and don't give a fuck about your perspective. Like, I wish the message, especially the part about Palestine, was understood. But instead, you got assholes out there who are like, nah, man, we at war. Fuck that. I ain't trying to read this book. It's going to make me feel, I'm going to start thinking about what I did. Besides, we killed way too many kids to start fucking a ceasefire, to start caring. Are you crazy? We've gone too far to go back. And that's it, man. It's really what I'm trying to say is people who if I could wrap this up in a theme, people who purposely misunderstand you. It sucks. And another reminder why I hate people. All right, okay. All right, as we end on that note, okay, one last point before I go is shout out to Nina Turner. I don't know her that well, but she was on the Breakfast. Fuck the Breakfast Club. But she was on the Breakfast Club. And, okay, the point she was making, I wasn't really feeling. But there was a part in the interview where she says something. She says, yo, I'm just speaking the truth. Just say amen or say ouch. This idea, just say amen or say, admit that this truth is bothering you. And it just made me realize, made me think about, when I think about the mission statement for this podcast, I want to get to the kind of truth that it leaves you with, it leaves you, that puts you in a situation where you're either saying amen or ouch. There's a lot of shit in the message by Ta-Nehisi Coates. Yeah, the people who are rejecting it, they're saying ouch. Or it's a truth that they don't want to see. But anyway, yeah, the kind of truth that makes you, that puts you in a situation. Look, I'm going to make it my motto. We at Shut Up Podcast, say the kind of truth. Okay, that's, by the way, we at Shut Up Podcast, aim to say the kind of truth that makes you say amen or ouch. All right, shout out to Nina Turner for that one. All right, this concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast. Again, happy Indigenous People Day. And motherfuck Columbus. him and his mama. Yeah, I'm bringing his mama into that. And je dis beaucoup, eh? Yeah, okay. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed recording it. As usual, if you want to holler at me, holler back, girl. make your holler back, boy, whatever. Holler at me at shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. What was that? I said shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. One more time, shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Hey, les gens de Paris, est-ce que vous disiez arc commercial or do you say at? Le at, doesn't matter. I can Google it. Right, okay. And yeah, website is shutuppodcast.com. Yeah, still under renovation. Okay, as always, yeah, so, mesdames et messieurs, thank you for, j'apprécie votre attention, thank you for listening, and remember, please, be kind to your favorite podcast. All right, peace.